Steve, I'm going to ask you this, and Douglas, I shall ask you the same question. Is what is happening now good versus evil, or is it evil versus greed? And the reason why I say that is because I'm beginning to have a feeling that maybe we as people might be little pawns in the middle of somebody else's power game, and I think we're in the middle. Stephen, I want your reaction to that.
Well, absolutely we're in the middle, because there are a group of individuals that have made it a matter of history and all their statements indicating that there is going to be a new world order. And in order to bring about a new world order, their word, not mine, they have to set up a set of circumstances where basically the old world order is totally disrupted. So your feeling that we're a pawn in this thing as something much larger is absolutely accurate. We've got the world powers vying for control. Russia and China have made a pact a couple years ago that they're not going to allow the United States to lead the new world order. Obviously, that makes the those in the dark shadows of our government upset. So you've got a worldwide upheaval, and that's the point that I want everyone to understand. We're not talking about a little skirmish here or a replay of 9/11 plus something. We're talking about total war. This is do or die, and we have an enemy, but the enemy doesn't realize that they're being played by the unseen puppeteer strings. So, in other words, you get two of your adversaries to fight amongst themselves, kill each other off, and then you walk in and establish whatever it was that you predetermined you wanted to bring in place, mm-hmm. that which you did away with.
Because you cannot beat them conventionally, can you?
No. And where we're at is, we're at kind of the denial phase in America is so great right now that our enemies are aware of our shortcomings, but they're unaware of one thing. When you really get us riled up and you start killing innocent women and children, and you know, take the Middle East situation out of it, when you're starting to talk about unleashing one of the most horrific plagues that's ever been developed in a bioweapons laboratory, you're gonna, how do I say this, they have not anticipated the fallout, no pun intended on that word, that's going to be reciprocated to them. And I'm afraid that you asked the question earlier, George, in the first hour, are the Canadians worried? No, the Canadians don't have to worry right now, because that's the staging ground for everything that's going on pretty much in the United States, at least the upper part of the U.S., while Mexico begins or becomes a staging ground for everything going on.
But they are great neighbors, Stephen. You know, and I will defend the Canadians until my last breath as well. I have seen what they've done with us and for us during various wars and everything else. They must be running around too, trying to get as many. Like they've detained, for example, I think at least 19 very strong Al Qaeda members that they say would pose a tremendous security threat to them. That is such a vast country, and they don't have the kinds of manpower resources we do. They must have their backs against the wall. Are we helping them at all to try to combat this problem?
I don't think so. I mean, forgive me, of course we're helping them somewhat, and you're talking about a very large border with the United States that you can go northern Montana and walk into Canada and no one ever see you, or vice versa. That's true in so many parts of this country. What I'm trying to say is, I'm not saying the Canadians aren't doing anything. What I'm specifically saying is that the Al-Qaeda and all the different terrorist networks are using it as a jumping-off point, so they're keeping, how should I say this, a very low key to the degree they have. And by the way, those 19 were Pakistanis, and that's why I'm telling you, when this thing goes down, you can bet that Pakistan will no longer remain our great ally. And if you understand why Ariel Sharon is in India and training 3,000 counter-terrorists to go into Kashmir, it's escalating over there too. So to answer your specific question, we are at a place where there's just too much being directed against us, and it's not a time, George, to be fighting over the color of the uniform.
Well, maybe Musharraf will lose his condominiums that he owns in Boston, huh?
Well, I think you're going to see the ISI, the Pakistani Intelligence Service, which has been in cahoots with bin Laden, come to the forefront, and I think you're going to find out that a lot of their technicians are, the Pakistani technicians are in Iran, and Iran is heating up big time because in the last 72 hours they've pretty much come out, and though they're officially denying it, everyone's saying that they've been harboring Zawahiri, the number two man of Al-Qaeda, and have spirited him off along with a couple of Osama bin Laden's sons. So the official policy of the United States, as you know, is anyone who harbors terrorists becomes an enemy of ours.
And it should be. Now, your thoughts, Douglas, if you can. Are we, as American people, in the middle of some power broker's chess game here between terrorists and whatever their own agenda is?
Well, George, this is where I'm kind of handicapped by my linear thinking, and that's why I trust Steve so much into explaining a lot of things.
Okay,
that I find.
That's fair enough.